Let's continue reading Hosea chapter 10. In this chapter, we have further consequences that result when God's people are wayward. Let's begin our study of this chapter by reading verses 1 through 11. Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the bounty of his land. They have embellished his sacred pillars. Their heart is divided. Now they are held guilty. He will break down their altars. He will ruin their sacred pillars. For now they say, we have no king, because we did not fear the Lord. And as for a king, what would he do for us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springs up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria fear because of the calf of Beth-Aven. For its people mourn for it, and its priests shriek for it, because its glory has departed from it. The idol also shall be carried to Assyria as a present for King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off like a twig on the water. Also the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. They shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, you have sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. When it is my desire, I will chasten them. People shall be gathered against them when I bind them for their two transgressions. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, but I harnessed her fair neck. I will make Ephraim pull a plow. Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break his clods. Once again, some background notes. Hosea's prophetic ministry was primarily directed to the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century BC when King Jeroboam II was on the throne. The northern kingdom is often referred to as Ephraim, as we see here in verse 11. This was because Ephraim was the largest and most powerful tribe of the northern kingdom. We mentioned that before. The capital of the northern kingdom of Israel was the city of Samaria, as we see in verses 5 and 7. In verse 5, we read, the inhabitants of Samaria fear because of the calf of Beth-Aven. Now, what's that all about? When the united monarchy divided after the reign of King Solomon, Jeroboam I, the first king of the northern kingdom, set up two golden calf idolatrous shrines, one in the far north of Israel at Dan, and the other at Bethel, near the border with the southern kingdom of Judah. In fact, the two transgressions mentioned in verse 10 may be a reference to these two idolatrous shrines. The calf idol at Bethel is referred to here in verse 5. Notice how Hosea changes Bethel, meaning house of God, to Beth-Aven, meaning house of wickedness, because of this idolatrous shrine. We see in verse 6 that this calf idol would be taken to Assyria as a present for Jareb, or the great king of Assyria, probably Tiglath-Pileser III. Verse 7 is very descriptive. As for Samaria, her king is cut off like a twig on the water. How many of you as kids used to throw twigs into fast-moving streams of water and watch them get rapidly carried away? How many did that? How many of you still do it? That's the way it would be with King Hoshea, the last king of the northern kingdom, when Assyria swept in like a flood. In fact, verse 15 says that this whole unbiblical line of kings in the north, which were not from the line of Judah, would be cut off forever. This, of course, has literally come true. Now, just one more background note. You know, I'll never forget experiencing the literal fulfillment of verse 8 on one of my early trips to the Holy Land. As an amateur would-be archaeologist, I was traipsing all over Tel Dan before it was excavated, knowing that below me were the ruins of one of Jeroboam's golden calf shrines. I had shorts on and my legs were bleeding because the tell was covered with thorns and thistles. Here was living proof of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Hosea 10:8. The thorn and thistle shall grow on their altars. You can literally see that today. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Hosea chapter 10. Doctrinal point number one. Wayward believers continue to go downhill. Wayward believers continue to go downhill. As God's people, Israel was to bring forth spiritual fruit for the Lord, but instead, they brought forth fruit for themselves. Verse 1 again. Israel empties his vine. He brings forth fruit for himself according to the multitude of his fruit. He has increased the altars according to the bounty of his land. They have embellished his sacred pillars. The more materially prosperous Israel became, as they did under King Jeroboam II, the more they increased and adorned their idols. Question, are we spending more time and money to adorn any idols in our lives right now? Israel's word as a nation could no longer be trusted. Verse 4. Can our word be trusted as God's people? Israel had gone so far downhill morally and spiritually that when the calf idol at Bethel would be taken away by the Assyrians, the people and the priests would actually mourn for their lost idol. Verse 5. In verse 9, God said that Israel had sinned from the days of Gibeah. Again, as in chapter 9, the shameful event from the times of the judges is mentioned. Read Judges 19 and 20 in this connection. Since those days, more than 300 years before, Israel had persisted in her sinful ways. Now they were ripe for judgment. Their idolatrous altars would be broken down. Verse 2. Their king would be taken away. Verse 3. Their fields would be poisoned. Verse 4. Their glory would be changed to shame. Verse 6. The Assyrian invasion would be so sweeping that the people would cry to the mountains. Verse 8. Reminds us of the tribulation of the last days, doesn't it? Revelation 6:16. In God's own time and way, he would discipline his people. Verse 10. When it is my desire, I will chasten them. Just because they were getting away with sin then didn't mean they had escaped God's discipline. What a lesson for us. Maybe you're here this morning, you think you're getting away with sin. God has his own time and way of discipline. God would have to put the heavy yoke of exile on Israel's neck. Verse 11. Like a young heifer, Israel loved to thresh. Threshing is easy work, and you can eat the grain as you work. But Israel continued to go downhill, and thus they would have to do the hard work of plowing under the heavy yoke of exile. Notice, by the way, that the southern kingdom of Judah is also denounced in verse 11. All of this has obvious application for God's people today, doesn't it? The divided or deceitful or faithless heart of verse 2 continues to go downhill. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a divided heart? Don't think that you can go down to some lower plateau as a believer and rest there. No way. Wayward believers continue to go downhill. Doctrine point number two. Wayward believers eat the fruit of lies. Wayward believers eat the fruit of lies. Verses 12 through 15. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. Therefore, tumult shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be plundered. As Shalman plundered Beth Arbel in the days of battle, a mother dashed in pieces upon her children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel shall be cut off utterly. The Shalman of verse 14 is probably either Shalmaneser III or Shalmaneser V. Both of these Assyrian kings invaded Israel. we see that their cruel and atrocious ways included slaughtering innocent mothers and children. Notice from verse 13 why Israel was eating the fruit of lies. Verse 13, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. They were trusting in themselves and not in the Lord. Israel would reap what she had sown. She had sown wickedness. She would reap injustice. She had believed lies. She would eat the fruit of lies. Does this have any application for us today? You better believe it does. Galatians 6:7 is God's moral principle without exception. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Our culture right now is eating the fruit of lies. The lie that freedom comes when you eliminate all restraints. Look at the bondage and disease that comes when departing from God's standards for sex, for example. The lie that everything began with a big bang. Believe that lie, and you will eat the fruit that there is no ultimate meaning or purpose or value to human life. It's the fruit of that lie. The lie that this world can satisfy you with all its things and pleasures. Are you eating the fruit of that lie? Unfortunately, many of God's people buy into these lies. Wayward believers eat the fruit of lies. What about practical application? Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. This practical application comes right from verse 12. Let's read that verse again. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow or unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Here is God's gracious call to repentance and promise of blessing right in the midst of a message of judgment. You know, this has an application for the unbeliever as well as for the believer. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, how long are you going to wait? Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why wait? The Lord loved you enough to die for you and pay for the penalty of your sins. Break up your hard heart. It is your time to seek and to come to the Lord for salvation. The application for believers is obvious. You know, a lot of Christians have hard hearts and bitter hearts. Is that true of you this morning? You've lost your first love for the Lord. Right now you're just doing your own thing, and trusting in yourself. You're away from the Lord and you know it. You have no joy. You want the solution to your problem? Let the plow of God's word break up your hard heart and begin to worship the Lord. Word and worship, that's the solution to your problem. Wayward believer, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord.